We're continuing our look at Acts chapter 13, verses 8 through 10. Let me read verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for that's what his name means, opposed them and tried to turn the proconsul from the faith. Now, as we return to Luke's story of Paul and Elymas or Bar-Jesus, we're reminded that Sergius Paulus had been assigned to be the governor of Cyprus. Luke tells us that he was a wise, understanding, and intelligent man. And as I mentioned last time, there's something else. The proconsul evidently was open to spiritual things. I say that for two reasons. One, he hired Bar-Jesus, a known magus or wide one, to be his primary advisor. Second, when he learned that Barnabas and Saul were preaching a new spiritual message, he of course called for them. Bar-Jesus, however, opposed the idea and tried to keep the proconsul from listening to the message they brought. He no doubt believed this new message was a threat to both his role as the proconsul's advisor, as well as his personal status on the island of Paphos. Now, we don't want to downplay Elymas' role there in Paphos. Many commentators reduce him to a charlatan, denying that he had any real spiritual powers. That clearly was not the case. If he was just a common charlatan, no one would have given him the time of day. No, there was something that drew people to him and on some level probably frightened them. The problem I'm citing with so many modern commentators is the complete lack of belief in the supernatural. Now, I've mentioned this before, but in American theology, this largely stems from the works of B.B. Warfield, who led the 19th century effort to eliminate the belief in the supernatural within the evangelical churches. Here's how Warfield put it in one of his lectures. My design is to state and examine the chief views which have been held favorable to the continuance of the charismata beyond the apostolic age. In the process of this examination, occasion will offer nothing whatever needful to convince us that the possession of the charismata was confined to the apostolic age. In the case of Bar-Jesus, let me note that his supernatural powers were absolutely believed by his contemporaries, as well as Barnabas and Saul. As one commentator noted, Paul's condemnation of Elymas has three clauses which fall like, quote, the beats of a hammer, sorcerer, false prophet, Jew, which makes a climax in wickedness. John MacArthur makes a very strong point about how in the book of Acts, everywhere the gospel goes, there is a direct opposition by the powers of darkness. After describing Bar-Jesus as in charge of demons, here's what MacArthur says. Whenever the gospel is moved into a territory, immediately there is demonic activity on a face-to-face confrontation. The gospel moved into Samaria, and who's the first guy they meet? Simon the sorcerer, demon-possessed. The gospel moved into Macedonia in the book of Acts, and the first person they meet was a demon-possessed damsel. Bang! The gospel moved here into Cyprus, Bar-Jesus. Whenever God begins to conquer new territory, Satan moves in to resist. That's a pattern we'll see again and again. In this passage before us, this head-on collision between the gospel and those attempting to maintain control over a pagan population takes place largely in verses 9 through 10, and that's what we're going to see next. Join me again for Verse by Verse.